I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
All right, welcome back. It is KSL's Unrivaled Players Club, brought to you by UCCU. Love where you've been. So, Alex.
What's up, Scott?
We're moving.
Yeah, where you guys headed?
I mean, we're moving, but we're staying, too.
That's true.
And I think our listeners need to know this.
So. That's true.
Would you like to walk them through it? Or?
Yeah, sure. So, starting on Wednesday... we're going to be located on The Zone, 97.5, 1280 The Zone, and The Zone Sports Network.
I just got chills.
3 p.m. to 6 p.m. You can hear us on your radio dial there on The Zone. We will also, for a short time, we'll be replayed here during this time frame on KSL News Radio, as you've previously heard us. But at some point, we will be only exclusively found on The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. So 97.5, 1280 The Zone, same place you're able to pick up these all the Jazz games, home and away. This Wednesday also, by the way, is going to be full broadcast of the Utah Jazz home game right here, their very first home game of the season, very first game of the season across the street of Vivint Smart Home Arena. So starting Wednesday, Scott and I are going to be on The Zone from 3 to 6, and it's going to change a lot of the listening habits, I think, of a lot of people here. And so it's going to affect you. I'll tell you what you're always going to get is you can still get the podcast found on the KSL Sports app, as always. So the podcast of our show will always be on the KSL Sports app. You can go and download the KSL Sports app wherever you find your apps. And wherever you listen to podcasts, you can do it for free. So it's just Unrivaled, but we'll be on The Zone on Wednesday, 3 to 6 p.m., and that's where we're going to be. But you'll hear us here still on KSL News Radio. Bittersweet. It's an amazing thing.
It's awesome. It's wonderful. We're expanding. We're growing. KSL Sports is committed to being the leader and really owning sports in the state of Utah, and this is part of that plan. And I mean, we're not going anywhere. We're just going to a different spot, a different location, different time of the day. It'll be a transition for everyone, and we really appreciate it. We know a lot of people tune in and listen to us, and we appreciate all of you people out there that listen, and we look forward to having you tune in maybe a little different time.
Well, yeah, just do it on your drive home, and 3 to 6 p.m. on 97.5 and 1280 The Zone. So we're looking forward to that change. Weird time for me just because this is something I've always wanted to do. It's like a massive dream come true. But I've also been on KSL News Radio basically in this time slot for the last 15 years.
Well, you're the night watchman.
I am. I don't know if I'll be even totally awake at 3 p.m. So we'll see how that goes. But awesome changes for our show. It's an amazing move for us, and it's an amazing deal for everybody. And look, my family will get to see their dad before they go to sleep. So that's always good news. What that means, Scott, is I'll have to help put the kids to bed.
I know, because when you're on the show, sometimes I see you sleeping.
No, like, no. What it is is I'm waiting. You'll be like, all right, see you later. I'll go, see you. You go, well, show's over. I'll go, I know. I'm going to wait later so I know for sure that the kids are asleep. Yeah. and then I'll go home. So
that's a savvy dad move.
No option of that anymore. So we'll keep you apprised on all that stuff. We'll keep mentioning it here. In the meantime, you had Jaren Hall talking to us a little bit about how some of those changes of the coaching staff at Wazoo are going to affect BYU versus Wazoo this weekend. I want to go back to the Baylor game that Kalani Sitake said this. I just wanted to point out that he said what any of us who saw the game saw, which was that Baylor absolutely outmatched BYU on the at the line of scrimmage. Those guys on that defensive line, on that offensive line that just ran all over BYU 300-plus yards on the ground, this is what he had to say about it.
We're going to have to get some things fixed, obviously. Not our best game, but the guys' effort, they believe, and they kept playing hard, and just way too many mistakes. And to be honest with you, we were out-physical today. And so that was a difficult game to accept. If you look at the rush yards and the inability for us to run the ball, that's not our style.
Two things, they got out-rushed, and they were just not able to run the ball at all.
But here's the thing right here, okay? When you run that 3-3 front like BYU runs, and a lot of it's run to stop spread teams, so BYU's going to match up much better against Wazoo this week. When you're a team like that, so you to get something, you got to give something up. And so BYU is basically giving up some of that extra big man at the line of scrimmage, right? The run stopper. So when you have a big physical team like Baylor, you're a bit of a mismatch. So how you counter that is you got to have the quickness of, you know, having that extra linebacker. That extra linebacker has to shoot gaps, and you have to slant your front. You have to do a lot of twists and games and stuff like that to kind of compensate for the big boy getting on you. Because when those big guys get on those linebackers, it's a nightmare, and you can really get a push and a surge against that defensive front, which is what Baylor did. And so that's where they have to do a better job, and that's where the challenge is. That 3-3 front allows you to give the offense so many different looks. And helps you in coverage. And so, you know, when you're playing a team like Washington State, which they're not going to change their offense just in a couple of days. They're still going to be who they are.
No, for sure. And, you know, and I think the dropping off of the production of Tyler Allgeier the last 2 weeks has been massively missed. And so that starts with the O-line. I mean, the honest truth is that's where I think Kalani kind of laid a lot of the issues was with the offensive and defensive line and how much they struggled. And so there's got to be better play, more consistent play from those big men there in the middle. Puka Nacua, who had a massive day, 168 yards receiving, his best day yet as a BYU Cougar. I think there are a lot of folks who are just massively excited about this kid, and they saw the reason why last Saturday. But he was asked today about, you know, something you asked Jaren too. It's like, hey, back-to-back losses, what does that do? What does that change for you? Here's what Puka had to say about that very topic right here.
I like our routine of where we're going into. I think it's more of an in-week adjustment that we need to make, of making sure we come out and practice isn't lackadaisical, that we're not just going through the motions. We're obviously not going to be super physical. We want to keep everybody healthy and stuff, but to bring the intensity and energy that practice needs and deserves in order for us to execute perfectly on Saturdays.
Games are won during the week and lost during the week, and it's not like he's right about you don't have to be physical, but you can play with and practice with a lot of tempo. The energy and effort that you put forward in your pacing, you know, and even coming out of the huddle, breaking the huddle, getting to the line of scrimmage with a sense of, all right, here we go kind of thing, is a real thing. It's a real thing. And so practicing just with that up-tempo mindset and that attacking kind of mindset really does help you in a game, because the game is intense, like it from snap one. And if you've kind of slowly worked your way into your practice mode, it's a massive, like, surge. As Jaren was talking about, he goes, whoa, well, we almost didn't expect there to be that electricity and that excitement, and you have to anticipate that. You've got to be willing to match that, whatever that intensity is, right from the get-go, and it happens with how you prepare during the week.
Well, I always hear that when they go, yeah, I know it's one during the week, but because they're, I don't know, I'm trying to figure out.
So Bill Walsh, Like they were never even in pads.
Full pads, yeah.
But their tempo, the pace of how they practiced, and the precision, the timing, was, you know, that tempo was part of what made them such a great team.
Do you think that, like, when you have a couple of losses like that, the air's out of the balloon? I mean, obviously a little bit. I know that Jaren said, no, our focus is still there. But, I mean, there's got to be a bunch of players who went, we were 5-0, we were number 10 in the country, and now we're out of the top 25 rankings. We've lost two in a row. It doesn't get necessarily any easier going up and playing another Pac-12 team who's won three games in a row, by the way, including against Stanford this last weekend. So, I mean, and then they've got to play Virginia. They've got to, you know, there's still P5 teams on this schedule here, and things change a little bit for BYU. And so, your bowl game is now set. You're going to be in the Independence Bowl. Don't talk about the New Year's Six stuff anymore. I'm kind of glad about that because I hated going back and forth about whether or not they would deserve to when we've only won five games. But, you know, I mean, this is where BYU fans, this is where you need to just say good riddance to stinking Independence. Just look at it as another reason to be like, thank heavens that the Big 12 and what this looked like this weekend. And I thought it was so classy what Baylor did. They had this massive welcome on the board to the Big 12. They had this big thing in the athletic director booth of a big giant sign in Tom Holmoe's suite with BYU and the Big 12 on the wall, because that's what it's going to look like when they go in there. I think that they know that BYU added to the Big 12 is a huge big deal.
It keeps them alive. I mean,
it keeps them going, and it's a
we'll
big
invite you to
program.
The party, but then we're gonna kill you
beat the heck out of you. Why not? Yeah, and I'm fine. Look, I'm okay with that. You got to do something like that. All right, let's take another break here. Hey, next hour we got a lot to talk about here. Here's that score update for you at the half. It's 20-17. Oh my goodness, I don't even know who's now. Now they just went to a break as soon as they walked away. I just lost a score in my head. So 20-17, the Bills are up at the half over the Titans. I know somebody had scored right before the half, so it ended up being the Bills. So the Bills are up 20-17 at the half against the Tennessee Titans. We'll take the break. We'll come back. We've got more to talk about. Our own Jeremiah Jensen also going to join us here in the studio as well. Stay with us. It's KSL News Radio. It is KSL's Unrivaled.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on kslpodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.